Minnesota Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube, thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live at Rock Bottom Brewery downtown. Mark Howard will be here for the pregame show starting at 5 o'clock. And we've got a special edition of the TD Power Hour. TD is with us downtown. The TD Power Hour presented by FreedomTireGuys.com and Crane Works and Rental Works, FreedomTireGuys.com. Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at FreedomTireGuys.com. Crane Works and Rental Works, your source for crane and equipment rental. Visit CraneWorks.com. What's going on, TD?
Hey, what's going on, man? It's a game day TD Power Hour. Let's talk about it.
Okay, let's start with this. I started the show off with this concept. What do the Titans have to lose today? I mean, I was watching ESPN this morning. Everybody except for Mike Greenberg picked Buffalo. We know Buffalo right now looks to be, if not the best team in the league, one of the best teams, one of the best two probably in the NFL. We know they're number one right now in, on offense, number one on defense. And I think going into the season, we didn't think the Titans were going to win this game. So I'm looking at this as an opportunity for us to get a feel for where the Titans really stand and where the Titans can improve and where they may not be able to improve. But I don't look at this as if they lose today like the season's over or like it's a monumental loss that hurts their chances of winning the South. I actually think when you go into the game with that mindset, if you're a Titan fan, I think it's kind of fun. What are you making of this?
Yeah, I don't think they really have much to lose. And this is a game that just – I could see the Titans winning this game because that's just typical Mike Vrabel football, right? You play up to the level of the competition. This is a primetime game. This is a situation where you have a team that everybody is picking. They are the alpha of the league as far as offensive and defensive stats. And what did Mike Vrabel say this week? Don't worry about the numbers. Throw that out the window. That's what he's telling the guys. Throw that out the window and come in and focus on what we could do. And I think that's a good approach. It's definitely a game where it's winnable, in my opinion. But make no mistake about it, this Buffalo Bills team, they're legit. Like, they are the truth.
I think what's interesting is I watched a lot of football yesterday. I'm sure you watched a lot of different games yesterday. And I saw things from all the top AFC teams, except for maybe Baltimore. I saw things that I'm like, that's kind of sloppy, or that doesn't look good, or that doesn't look perfect, or that doesn't – you know, I thought Kansas City had a lot of moments like that yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
The Chargers, my Chargers, who are like my version of the Bills this year.
Oh, that's your team this year?
Well,
okay.
I remember last year I was like on the Buffalo train thinking they were going to go to Kansas City and beat the Chiefs in the title game. And the Chargers just get skunked by the Ravens. The Browns, I thought, looked exactly like the Titans did for the most part against Arizona yesterday. And these are the best teams in the AFC. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, maybe the Titans aren't that far back. And to your point about this Buffalo Bills team, I mean, I think this is an opportunity for us to get a look at the Titans and say, okay, can the Titans compete with an elite offense?
Yeah, and
you know?
I think that's really what it's about. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I know you didn't like the Julio Jones acquisition.
I didn't love
but
it.
But games like this, this is what that move was done for.
Sure.
To be able to go into a shootout, a possible shootout against a team like Buffalo and go score for score with them. Now, I'm not saying that that's, you know, going to happen because this Bills defense is top, the top in scoring defense. I think they're top three in red zone. You look at them against the run, they're number three in the league. Like, everything is good. So I still feel that this is one of those type of games that, you know, the Titans – getting Julio Jones and having A.J. Brown, which we know he's questionable. But this is what that collection was put together for.
And I think A.J. Brown's going to play because
absolutely,
the Titans
so
have just made some roster moves.
Yeah.
Good news, Amani Hooker activated from injured reserve to the 53-man roster, so he'll be out there. Torrey Carter was the elevation from the practice squad. Bad news, Christian Fulton placed on IR, which means he'll miss the next three games.
Yeah.
Which is obviously not a good thing for the Titans. So you're going to have to do it without what I think has been your best, maybe best defender outside of Harold Landry this season, but certainly best member of the secondary in Christian Fulton. That's going to be a tough task.
It's going to be a tall order. And for me, you know, one of the things that I always liked about Christian Fulton was his ability just to stick with guys who run really good routes, right? And I think he would have matched up really well against Emmanuel Sanders, against Stephon Diggs. You take him out of the equation, and now you have Caleb Farley slash Breon Borders. And one of the things in my film study of Caleb Farley that kind of bothered me was the way he was against route runners, like really crisp, precise route runners that could sell that go. You know how Chris Sanders always say, sell to go.
Sure.
Well, that's what these guys do really well. And I've always said this about Caleb Farley. He's literally a horse. Like, he wants to run. Mm-hmm. He wants to get out there and show you that he can run. So when you sell that go, he's opening up. He's flipping his hips and opening up and running with them. But then they throttle down and then come back to the quarterback. And now you have an opportunity for consistent completions. Mm-hmm. So that's something that I'm really going to be watching for from Caleb Farley, is just that ability to stick with the change of direction, especially because Stephon Diggs, I mean, that guy, he'll sell – the way he runs routes is like selling ice to an Eskimo, mm-hmm. because he will sell a route and make you think he's doing one thing. He's going to complete different directions. So I want to really focus on that matchup. Not having Christian Fulton to help out in that area is going to be tough. I will say this. Jackrabbit Jenkins, if you look a few years ago, maybe was it 2 years ago when Stephon Diggs was with the Vikings, mm-hmm. and Rabbit was with the Saints. Cat coverage, he stuck with him, and he did a very good job. So I'm not saying do cat coverage, but if they decide to do that to try to take Diggs out of the picture, that's an option.
Well, and the other thing about it, too, you go back to last year's game where the Titans just absolutely sucker-punched the Bills in shocking fashion. I think the key to that game was Malcolm Butler got his hands on a football early, mm-hmm. and I think he got his hands on another football, or somebody got their hands on the football. And Vrabel's talked about that this week, that, you know, this Titans defense against this Bills offense, they're gonna have to turn the ball over. This is what makes me a little uncomfortable about today's game is – last year, the Titans shocked everybody by going through the COVID outbreak, not really practicing, couple of walkthroughs, mm-hmm. and then embarrassing Buffalo on Tuesday Night Football on national TV. But what they did in that game was they got turnovers, and they were so efficient in the red zone. What was that, 5 for 5 in that game?
Yep.
Those are the two things this year that are lacking compared to last year. If this defense was to get the turnovers that last year's defense was to get, they may be a top 10 defense in the league, but they're not getting the turnovers. And this offense is not as sharp in the red zone as they were, and that worries me about tonight.
Yeah, well, you know, the good thing, I know it was Jacksonville, mm-hmm. but they were 75% in the red zone last week, 50% on the year entering that game. So obviously that number has gone up, but you're 100% right. It's all about turnovers. And when you're going against an offense like the Bills, you want to find extra opportunities to score the football. So not only could they use a turnover, they could use a defensive touchdown. That would help in a major way because, again, it's hard to score points. This team, they're number one in scoring defense. It's tough to score points against them. And then you look at just the way that they play top down, right? Micah Hyde, Poyer. These guys, you're not going over top of them.
No, those are some bad boys, by the way. If people don't know about Hyde. Hyde, who's been steady for probably a decade, and Poyer, who Jordan might be one of the most underappreciated safeties in the league.
Absolutely. And these guys, so the one thing, though, is in their quest to make sure, because they're number two in the league as far as completions of 40 yards or more allowed, these guys in their quest to keep you from beating deep, they open up that mid-range passing game. So, for me, it's like, okay, not only do you need turnovers, but you need to run the football.
Yep.
But in order to do that, you want to do that so that way you can set up that mid-range passing game, the play action, the glance play that they do, you know, the play action pop pass to A.J. Brown running that crossing route. You know, it's time for him to reestablish himself as a yak monster because he's not that this year.
So, one thing I wonder from your film study, because I've just watched the Bills on TV. You know, I think Brandon Bean, their general manager, is one of the most underappreciated, underrated general managers, if not the best general manager in the NFL.
Better than Chris Ballard.
Oh, my God. Oh, don't even get me started. And I'll say this. You look at the free agent signings that they make, and it's like they bring a guy in like Micah Hyde. They brought a guy who was good in Green Bay. He's better in Buffalo.
Yeah,
they
Jordan
traded
Poyer.
For Stephon Diggs, who was, you know, probably like – a low-end one, high-end two in Minnesota, and he is maybe one of the best receivers now in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And they took the risk on Josh Allen, and they made the playoffs in 2017 and said, we've got to bring it back a notch. We've got to draft a quarterback. We can't keep running Tyrod Taylor out there and expect for us to be, you know, a contender for the Super Bowl. And they've made it, and I wonder when you look at the tape, and they got a lot of young guys on their team, I wonder what you see as far as the meshing of talent and how good the selection of talent has been.
It's been really, really good. And you mentioned Josh Allen. And I'll tell you, I remember him coming out of Wyoming. And I watched back-to-back championship games, you know, his last 2 years, championship games against San Diego State. And you look at the last one, DeMonte Casey victimized him. 2 interceptions, they lost. And I kept saying, like, what is it about this kid? To Buffalo's credit, they got their hands on him. It turns out this guy was never really coached as a quarterback. So why do you see the accuracy improve? Because he's actually learning technique. He's learning fundamentals. He already has the big arm. He used to have a big arm but just couldn't hit anything. Mm-hmm. He was always sailing it over receivers. But now you see precision passing. What did Mike Vrabel say? He's progressed tremendously as a deep ball player. Yeah, and you're seeing that. So that is one thing. But then just a matter of being able to pull the right guys and put them together and have it all mesh. You know, Tremaine Edmonds, drafted him in the first round. Everybody was like, what the heck? Why? He's produced, right? You look at this year, Gregory Rousseau, another guy I did not like. He stayed on the ground. There were times where he looked like Bambi, you know what I mean, like with the legs, still trying to find his legs and balance. That's what he looked like. But now you see this guy going out there and making plays. And I think that's really a testament. You know, signing Jordan Poyer, a guy who was like a cast-off from the Eagles. And look at him. He's a Pro Bowl-level safety. Selecting Tre'Davious White and having him come in there. Levi Wallace, getting him. Like, they've done Taron Johnson. Mike Vrabel, I asked him about the rushing defense and why they're so good. That was the first guy he mentioned. They have a nickel guy who tackles. Going against Derrick Henry, you need in the secondary guys to tackle. So my whole thing is this. When you look at them defensively and you flip it to the other side, right, Spencer Long, the guy that got out of Northern Iowa, I said the Titans should have selected him second round. He's a guy I really thought would have come in and fit well. Guess what? He's starting at right tackle, right? You look at Deion Dawkins, you know, another guy out of Temple. He's become a benchmark of that offensive line. So when you look at all of these guys, they all come together perfectly, and they all have that one mindset of playing with physicality. And that's why every time you play the Bills, it's a backyard fight. This team, like, I don't mean to rave about a team, but this team is really good, and they're fun to watch. They play with aggression. They play with physicality. They're disciplined. They're tough to beat.
You sound like me last year before they got embarrassed in the AFC. TD's with us for the TD Power Hour presented by Freedom Tire Guys and Craneworks and Rental Works. Coming up next, if there is a path for a Titans victory, what is it? TD will tell us coming up next. Let me tell you about my new friends at Bowl and Branch. That's right. Everybody has everyday essentials that they have to use, whether it's your toothbrush, your toilet paper, your pillows, you name it. What about your sheets? You need great sheets to sleep on, and that's what my friends at Bowl and Branch do. That's right. I have got a set of these Bowl and Branch sheets, and they are absolutely fantastic. If you dream of a comfortable sheet at a price that won't keep you up all night, look no further than Bowl and Branch. They use only 100% sustainable raw materials and the first fair trade certified manufacturer of linen. You can feel as good about your Bowl and Branch sheets as they feel against your skin. Let me say this. I have been using Bowl and Branch sheets. Not going to tell you about how great they are if I don't sleep in them. I feel like I am literally sleeping on a cloud. And I feel like I'm in such a good mood today because I slept in my Bowl and Branch sheets. That's right. Their signature hymn sheets from Bowl and Branch are a bestseller for a reason. Bowl and Branch focuses on quality over quantity. No inflated thread counts over at Bowl and Branch. Bowl and Branch, experience the best sheets that you have ever felt at bowlandbranch.com. Get 15% off your first set of sheets when you use the promo code Jared at checkout. That's Bowl and Branch, B-O-L-L and B-R-A-N-C-H.com, promo code Jared.
Some of the guys have said this week that a part of your message is don't look at the numbers. Is that the case and why?
Well, you get, you know, I mean, you kind of get caught up in how statistically good they are. Statistically great, you know, and again, we have to execute and go play against a very good team. That's rightfully so that they, you know, they've earned those numbers, and it's impressive. And I just want to make sure that, you know, we focus on what our plan is and how we need to try to play the game. I mean, they're +9 at turnover margin after 5 games, you know, averaging 34 points, giving up 12, and number 3 in red zone, or 3 and 3rd down, 1st in the red zone on defense. So it's going to be a huge challenge.
Don't worry about the numbers, TD, Mike Vrabel says, and then gives you all the numbers on how good the Buffalo Bills are. TD Power Hour presented by Freedom Tire Guys TDRentalWorks.com and by CraneWorks and RentalWorks. So, TD, if there is a path, because I remember a couple years ago the Chiefs came in here, you know, fresh off their loss in the AFC title game, Patrick Mahomes, league MVP quarterback, back from injury. And I remember telling the old GM I didn't see a path, and he said, oh, there's a path, there's a path. And then they won, and it was the only time in the 5 years of the show that he went and had Ian dial up the audio and cut it together to cold take me. So he had a path. It wasn't a pretty one, but it took some turnovers and some missed field goals on Kansas City's part, and it worked. If there is a path today for the Titans to beat the Bills, what is it?
I think it's use your offense as your defense. And there's layers to that. So basically, time of possession is critical, right? So you want to be able to establish Derrick Henry. This team, as I said, they're third in the league in run defense. They are going to take pride. Remember, physical team, they're going to take pride in matching that physicality that the rushing attack brings. So establish that. Make it known that, hey, this is going to be a battle. We're going to feed you Derrick Henry and feed you and feed you and feed you, and eventually it's going to break. So you're going to do that, and then off of that, play-action passing game. I think that's really necessary because this defense, I mean, they're, like I said, they're going to sell out to stop the run. Tre Davis White is a very solid cover corner, but I think Levi Wallace, you can do some things against him. Heck, in play action, you could do things against White too. So that glance route that we talked about, the glance play, I think play action, take a deep shot to Julio Jones. Even if it's not complete, at least you're establishing to Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde, hey, I'm going to go deep on you. We'll make an attempt that stretches the football field for that mid-range passing game that we talked about. Also, because of how aggressive these guys are up front, the screen game is very important. Mm-hmm. A couple screens, you know, and maybe even mix that one into the tight end throwback type of screen that we haven't seen yet but should have seen at this point. Those are things that you got to do. Defensively, what you want to do with that time of possession side of things, you want to force Josh Allen to be antsy, right? He wants to score the football. Sure. He wants to push it down the field. You want to force him to take some shots that he probably shouldn't. And one of the ways that you do that, you marry that pass rush. Josh Allen, you know, like any other quarterback, doesn't like pressure coming into his lap, right? So you look at the Steelers game. I don't know if you watched that one. Even if you watched the TV copy, you saw Stephon Tuitt. You saw Cam Hayward. You saw these guys getting that interior. They were picking on that guard, center, guard trio. Jeffrey Simmons, this is his game where he shows that he is the player that he is, right? So he needs to get that pressure. And then marry that with Bud Dupree and Harold Landry coming off the outside, Ola Edeni coming off the outside, at least against – and that's a matchup, really, now that I thought about it, because Spencer Long is 6'7", right? Edeni is listed as 6'2". I think he's more like six feet.
Yeah.
Right. So when you have a guy that can bend the way he can coming off that edge, that's tough for a tackle that's so tall to be able to get his hands on him. That will get pressure. So you do all of those things to knock Josh Allen off his block and then also to get him to make some off-platform type throws, whereas like you get him to go back to that bad mechanics and throwing the football. Now you got chances for turnover. So, I mean, I just explained a lot, and it was real easy to explain it. Going out there and doing
harder.
It is a very difficult thing. It's a different thing, but that's the way I would approach it.
One thing I don't think Sean McDermott's going to let happen, because most coaches go in with this game plan, he's not going to let Derrick Henry take over the football game.
Mm-hmm.
I do wonder how the intermediate passing game today will be used to set up the run. You know, most teams like to use the run to set up the pass. I think the Titans, given who they have at running back, have got to use the pass to set up the run. You talked about the middle of the field being open.
Yeah.
Tannehill last year had no problems with this defense. I don't know if it was familiarity playing against them in the AFC East all those years. I don't know if it was just Marcus could never get the Bills defense figured out. I do wonder if Tannehill can set up the run today effectively, because you're going to see, in my opinion, a lot of 1 yard and 3 yard runs early, because Buffalo will be dedicated to not letting Derrick go.
Yeah, and you know, the key with that is staying ahead of the chains, mm-hmm. right? Because you stay ahead of the chains, and now, like, you know, you run the football on first down, and it's a 1 yard gain. Now you're second and nine, it's an incompletion. Now it's third and nine. Guess what?
Here
Jerry
they
Hughes,
come.
Gregory Rousseau,
yep.
There. Let's go. We're going to come get them. And that's what you want to avoid. So, yeah, that is important. I think working that middle of the field, but that's why that play action. because even though you could pass to set up the run, right, I think it's important that you run to set up the pass because they're going to sell out to stop the run. You know what I mean? So when you have them, when you have Milano, when you have Tremaine Edmonds, you guys, you know, taking that first read step, that's going to open that up even more. Mm-hmm. And that's why you got to offer play action, you know, have it layered. In college, we used to call it divide routes or combo, where you have the dig right here and the post over top and the safety, you put them in the bind. All right, what you want to do? You want me to cut your head off or you want me to stab you in the midsection, right? You know, that's really what it boils down to. So when you have that play action, you combine those like that, now you're attacking the mid-range, but you're also pushing the defense back. And it's off of play action, getting the linebackers to bite up. So I get what you're saying about pass to set up the run, but I think because of the impact that Derrick Henry has and the attention, the focus that this, you said it yourself, they are going to be focused on not letting Derrick Henry take over the game.
Yep.
Okay, no problem. So we're going to show you that my mindset would be, I'm going to show you what you think is going to come, and we're going to set it up and play off of it. Mm-hmm. And this is where the layering play calls, setting things up, and that type of thing, this is a big test for Todd Downing today.
How much of this is about, on the path to victory, about getting contributions from guys that so far haven't lived up to what we thought they could do for the Titans, like Firkser and Josh Reynolds, and Chester Rogers has lived up to it, but using him even more today is Buffalo is clearly not going to let Derek run away with it early, and I would probably be pretty worried about A.J. Brown and Julio Jones. And how much of it is, hey, they got good players, but you got A.J. Brown, you got Julio Jones, you got Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill. Like, how much of it is they need those guys to step up, and how much is it they need the stars to be stars?
They need it all. I mean, that's really the bottom line. They need Marcus Johnson to play well. They need Chester Rogers to play well. That Chester Rogers versus Taron Johnson matchup, that's critical, right? Because you talk about working the middle of the field and the mid-range passing game. That's what Chester Rogers is capable of doing. Marcus Johnson, bringing him in, right? Because we know A.J. Brown is going to be on that snap count kind of thing, right? So those plays where A.J. Brown's not in there, they need to get the most out of Marcus Johnson. He has shown some yards after catch ability. You look at the catch and run he had last week, and he's very consistent working that middle of the field. He's someone that Ryan Tannehill trusts. So you're going to need that out of them. But, man, look, it's Monday Night Football. It's a big-time game. And A.J. Brown, he says he's a big-time player. I believe he's a big-time player. Big-time players make big-time plays in big-time games. Mm-hmm. And that same thing goes for Julio Jones. So you need the most out of those guys because, again, like I said, this is what you brought Julio Jones. You didn't make that trade to blow the Jaguars out, mm-hmm. right? You didn't make that trade to stop one.
No, you made that trade to go back to Kansas City in the AFC title game
and have a
play
chance.
With them. Yeah.
Exactly. That's why you did it. You made that trade to go against a team like the Bills and win the game. So I think it's imperative for both of those guys and Derrick Henry, even if it's not 100 yards, still have that impact where they feel you enough to where you're running the football and influencing the way that they cover in the secondary.
How do you feel so far about the Titans on the injury front today? Amani Hooker back, Christian Fulton out, but it does feel like some of the little guys that have been dinged up are all going to be in there today.
You had the extra day, so that's been really good for them. You know, the extra day of rest. Mike Vrabel said himself, you know, that benefited them. So I feel better than I did last week, right? You got Saffold and Ben Jones and Taylor Lewan, you know, getting the extra day. Saffold had the yellow jersey on throughout practice. Kyrie Blossom game had the yellow jersey on. So there's a lot of guys banged up. I think this is probably the most healthy that they've been since the season opener. So, yeah, I would feel okay about the depth. And Bud Dupree, right? He didn't practice when they were indoors, but he's still no designation on the game status report. So I would expect to see something from him today too, but measured, you know, different waves, not seeing him play consistently like 40 snaps.
The Titans have played teams that have been good, physical, top-of-the-league teams over the last couple of years, and they've beaten them. And there's been one thing in those wins that has been consistent and I'm worried about tonight, and I want TD's thoughts on it, and we'll do that next. Plus, get your text questions in for TD. We'll do it like we do every TD Power Hour at the end of the hour. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you've got a question about tonight's game for TD. 5 o'clock will be the pregame show live here at Rock Bottom downtown on Broadway. come on out and hang out. Mark Howard will be with us. Chris Sanders will call in at some point. TD will join us from the stadium from 5 to 7 right here before the Titans take on the Bills. The pregame show brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, FreedomTireGuys.com, FanDuel, E2 Roofing, Hillside Medical, Social Furniture, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. More TD Power Hour next. Into the NFL Game of the Week this week on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. The Game of the Week this Sunday, the Philadelphia Eagles and the Las Vegas Raiders. Kickoff set for 3:05 on ESPN 94.9. TD is with us, the TD Power Hour, a special Monday edition on Monday Night Football, presented by FreedomTireGuys.com and by Crane Works and Rental Works. So, TD, this is not the first time that we have seen a team come in here that is number one in the league, which Buffalo is on offense and defense, where they're number one in the league. They bring a whole bunch of fans with them. They pack Nissan Stadium. And somehow, for the most part, it kind of feels like the Super Bowl champion Eagles fans go home unhappy. The New England Patriot fans go home unhappy. The Kansas City Chiefs fans in 2019 went home unhappy. But in all those games, including the Ravens playoff game in 2019, when everyone says, this team's so good, that team's so good, in all those games, the Titans' offensive line has physically dominated the other team's defensive line. I've seen enough of the Buffalo Bills to know they are not going to back down from a challenge, especially after what Derrick Henry did last year. Why is the offensive line so far this year maybe missing that bully mentality that they had in the past that made them so successful, especially in games like this?
I think guys are a bit older, man. Like we talked about on the break, guys are a bit older, and then it's still there, but it's just not as much. And I don't want to say the mentality or the mindset, but it just was that 2019 year, like towards the end. Like I remember, you know, talking to Roger Saffold and Taylor Lewan after the Patriots game. And I'm like, yo, man, another outstanding rushing performance. What do you guys have to say about it? He said, hey, we're like bouncers. Right? No white tees in the club. No Timberlands. And that was the mindset that they had. Now, I still feel like they have that mindset, but that level of confidence, I don't know, is there. And Lewan, I mean, you've heard him throughout the season, just how his confidence has been damaged, but it's starting to get there. But I just think that they're kind of – it's still a work in progress. And I definitely think, you know, the regression of Nate Davis is something that – you know, fortunately for him, it's kind of floating under the radar, but this guy isn't the same as he was in 2019. So this offensive line, long story short, is it's different. So that's why they're not the same type of pushing people around. And not having Jack Conklin, one of the best right tackles in the game, that hasn't helped at all. And no slight on David Quesenberry, who's starting to come around. But I just think it's a different group, and that's really the bottom line.
I think they just need a little bit of confidence, too, on top
of
it. You talked about Lewan. I was talking to a coach, you know, who no longer in the game but was a very well-respected offensive coach. And he told me, he goes, you know, for fans it's easy. You say, hey, kick the guy who played left tackle last year, kick him over to right tackle, and you think, all right, that's fine. A left tackle can surely play right tackle. And some guys can. But some guys can't. And then there's the whole playing with your new partner. David Quesenberry was kicked over to right tackle, and he's playing with Nate Davis. And ever since I heard that, I wondered, is this something that Nate Davis is struggling with, playing next to a guy that he didn't play next to last year? He had played next to Kelly. He had played next to Conklin when they got going. I also think, to your point, when they're playing well, it's all five guys together.
Mm-hmm.
And right now it's like, well, Lewan's doing this here, and Saffold's dealing with this injury there, and Jones is in and out over here, and Davis is struggling here, and Quesenberry had a good game here and then a bad game there. And I think when they start to get that, like, five-man, once it all becomes, hey, the line just bullied them, that's when this offense will pick up and probably take it to that next level. And I think a game like tonight provides them with the opportunity maybe to get some of that confidence.
Well, these are some tough guys to bully.
Oh,
now.
Yes, it is.
I mean, you know, Ed Oliver, you know, he's like a bowling ball of butcher knives, man. Mm-hmm. It's tough to deal with him. So it will be tough. But I think, you know, this is the type of game where – if they're able to somehow put that together, that will spring them. It'll launch them for the rest of the year because you're going against a team that just has every bit of the same type of physical mindset. So if you could attack them and dominate up front in the trenches, yeah, I that would definitely be a key thing. But it's just not only is the key part of it, dominating against the run. You want to be able to be outstanding in pass pro, right? And that even extends to your running backs. You know, what happened to Seattle, right, where you got Jamal Adams blitzing and Derrick Henry stonewalling. You need more of that because that carries to the next play.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, that gives you that vibe, that energy, that want to continue to punish people. So that's critical as well.
What do you think is going to be the hardest matchup? The Titans' offense versus the number one defense, scoring defense for the Bills, or the Titans' defense, which has shown maybe some of the 2020 issues the last couple of weeks against the number one offense, the number one scoring offense in the Bills?
Man, that's like, you know, pick. You want me to jump? You want me to jump out the window or over this ledge? Which one you want me to do? I'll probably say the defense because of how much Derrick Henry is the catalyst for this team. If they're able to stop Derrick Henry, I think that will be extremely deflating for the Titans themselves. But more importantly, if the Titans are able to get Derrick Henry running, you know how it is. You're in that stadium, right? What do you hear? 22's in the back. Exactly. You don't hear AJ. You don't hear Julio. You don't hear Vrabel. Ryan, you hear Henry. Watch when he has one of those runs. Watch how they are on the sideline. So being able to establish that is the most important thing for them. So that's why I think going against the defense is the bigger, the more important part of it.
What's amazing about what you just said is when they start the Derrick Henry chants, I feel like I'm 11 years old again and they're doing the chants for Eddie George.
Yeah.
You know, that's where it kind of feels. And you know what's crazy about home field advantage with the Titans? And I don't know what your thoughts are on this, but when they play one of these games, and let's be real, what do you think the fan composition is going to be? 50-50? You think Titans are hoping it's 50-50?
60-40 at the least.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's one thing when it's Green Bay or New England. It's another, you know, no disrespect to Buffalo. But they seem to thrive in these type of games.
Yeah.
Where the other team packs the stadium. You saw the Eagles game where they rented out the General Jackson, and we were sitting up here doing the show, and we saw the General Jackson out in the river, and I remember Floyd pointing while we're on the air saying to me and Chris, they got a yacht that is filled with Eagle fans. You remember the Chiefs game? I mean, this is going to be – and somehow the Titans send those teams off.
The Bills fans, when they were here, they drank all of the Bud Light in the George Jones place.
They drank all the Bud Light. As they should. That is their right.
Yeah, they did that last year two years ago.
That was some wild times. Last year we were saved because they only had like 20% tickets at the time in the stadium. I'm sure the Bill fans got their hands on those as well. Let's get to your questions for TD. 615-737-1025. Calls in text. We'll hit them both. 615-737-1025. Your questions for TD. Next, Stillman & Company live from Rock Bottom. Again, the pregame show starts at 5 o'clock right here at ESPN 1025 again. Join us in partnering with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's Light the Night. Nashville's Light the Night will be virtual and take place on November 4th. Learn more at lighttonight.org/TN. Live at Rock Bottom downtown. The pregame show at 5. TD is with us for the TD Power Hour presented by FreedomTireGuys.com and CraneWorks and RentalWorks. Enough of me talking to your phone, 615-737-1025. Our phone lines and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Questions for TD. Caroline, lead us off.
Sean texts in and says, TD, you've been more confident in the offensive line and Keith Carter than most other media that I've seen. What is it that you can speak on? Yeah, Jared Stillman being one of them. What is it that you can speak on about the composition of that room that makes you so optimistic?
Well, I think it really comes down to the drills that I see them doing. And just you look at the way he's brought guys along. David Quesenberry, you know, from a reserve into a guy who's now the starting right tackle. Nate Davis, who barely even played in camp, and he became a pretty solid offensive lineman as a rookie. So for me, like, it's the drills. Like, I watch the things that they emphasize. And every week it marries with what you see the opposing team doing so well up front. You know, and just being there, I love going and hanging out there, you know, because you hear him tell them, okay, look, you know, they're going to do this, and when they do this, we have to react that way. And then just watching him Just work through the different stunts and things like that. That's why I always ask these guys, like, how the heck is a stunt killing you? Because I'm thinking in my head, I'm watching you all week focus on that. You know what I mean? And that's why I say it's not always on the coaching, because sitting here watching them focus on it week after or day after day leading up to the game and then it not happening, that makes me feel like it's on the player. So that's really the main thing.
How much do you feel like the loss of Dennis Kelly has hurt that group, not just – you know, the player, because it's a drop-off from Kelly to Questenberry, but more so, he was the player rep. You know, he was the guy that a lot of the people looked up to on that team, and maybe a leadership angle, too, with Jones getting hurt and Saffold, the other leaders on the line getting hurt. Do you think that they miss Kelly and what he brought last year?
I don't think it's as much from a leadership perspective as it is from, a Tyler Bass jersey. I got to shout that out, man. A kicker getting a jersey worn. Shout out to that. Great jersey. But I think it's more just the depth that he brings, right? Mm-hmm. This is a guy you could play at left tackle, left guard, right guard. I think if he was here, you wouldn't see Dylan Radins playing all over the place. Mm-hmm. I think that would allow him to settle in better at a particular position. So I think that's what they missed.
Caleb texts in and says, I think the key to the game is the Titans not allowing Allen to scramble and keeping pressure on him. Do you think they can do that, and who is key in making that happen?
Yeah, I think they can do that, but the key thing is when they do that, they have to make sure that these guys, and Imani Hooker being active is going to help a lot because he has very good ball skills. Playing, like I said, top down, you know, you got to plaster to these receivers who will turn their routes up. Or like, you know, change their direction, you know, as he's scrambling. So, for me, I think the key to keeping him from, you know, getting out in the open field and running, it's a combination of the outside backers and the interior guys. And I think this is another one of those games where you have to layer your pass rush and make sure that you're not getting too deep and allow him to have that crease, that lane that he could slide and then take off on. But at the same time, you got to marry it with the guys on the interior. This is a good week to blitz your corners. You know, Elijah Molden, use him in a way. And that's one of the things, if you remember, when he first got here, I was saying he reminded me of Logan Ryan and how he could blitz and things like that. So that's something that you have to do. Just give different things, like surprise him and do things to get him off of that block. And just you got to try to corral him, right? You can't allow him to hit that open field. So I think that's the key there.
Am I crazy in wanting them to play Farley outside instead of Borders today, only because I think the way that Farley's going to learn, and I know he's not there yet, you know, like he's not where they, because of all the injuries, but the only way he's going to learn is getting out there and playing against a Josh Allen and playing against Emmanuel Sanders and playing against Stephon Diggs. And it may not look pretty, honestly, but that I think it's important that you have so much invested in Farley to get him out there and kind of get him baptized by the fire.
I want to see him play more. I agree with you. I want to see him play more, but I want to see him do something that he didn't really do in camp, and that was put his hands on receivers. Mm-hmm. And my thing is this. You have so much speed. It's okay. You go to jam. He gets by you. You could turn and run. Mm-hmm. He could turn and run with Emmanuel Sanders step for step. Stephon Diggs step for step. So it's like it's not time to cancel Christmas if he's beat at the line of scrimmage because he could recover. So I do want to see him, but I want to see him be physical with these guys up front.
Another texter texts in and says, how different are the rosters between the Titans and the Bills compared to when the Titans blew out the Bills last year?
Well, I think it's very different because, in my opinion, Emmanuel Sanders is a major upgrade at receiver. Mm-hmm. I think Gregory Rousseau, as much as I didn't like him coming out of Miami, he's a playmaker up front. I think, you know, I don't believe Tremaine Edmonds played in this game last year. I don't believe he did. I don't believe Trey Davis White did either. So you're talking about, in my opinion, I'm going to say Trey White is a top, at the very least, top five corner of the league. Mm-hmm. So not having him definitely, you know, is a difference.
Right.
So that's kind of the way I look at it. Obviously, there's so much to not just the personnel part of it. There's a, you know, these guys report to the building not knowing if they're going to play, right? And then the next day finding out they're going to play and then not knowing, that definitely factors into it too. But I think Edmonds and Davis, those are the big, or Trey White, those are the big personnel differences.
What worries me compared to last year for this year And Chris Sanders brought it up last week, and I thought he was dead on, which was, you know, Buffalo came in here. The Titans hadn't practiced in a week. Mm-hmm. Buffalo was feeling themselves. They had just crushed the Raiders in Vegas. They were feeling good. They probably kind of took the Titans a little lightly, and the Titans made them pay early and then kind of piled on. Well, if Buffalo is feeling themselves after beating Kansas City on national TV last week, they're going to remember last year's game, and they're not going to let themselves walk in here and maybe feel good about themselves.
This won't be a letdown game. No. They're coached too well, and not just from Sean McDermott. You know, Leslie Frazier, he doesn't get his roses enough. And that guy, you know, everybody talks about, you know, Brandon Staley, rightfully so, and what he did with the Chargers. But look, man, Leslie Frazier is doing some things with the Bills, too. So they're coached too well to have a letdown game. I can't see that happening.
We've gotten a bunch of texts about the Titans secondary, but we can kind of start with this one. This text says, do you all think that we should take a risk and let Caleb Farley shadow Stephon Diggs, or is it just too soon?
No. All right, don't do that to that young man. Don't do that to – and that's
welcome
no
to the
slight.
NFL, Caleb that's, Farley.
Yeah, and shadow. No, if you're going to shadow, you're going to have a jackrabbit shadow Stephon. But in my opinion, you just play sides. You just play sides. And you definitely don't want Farley shadowing Diggs, because a lot of times they have Diggs as the number two or number three receiver, meaning like in that slot. Mm-hmm. And that's where he works out a lot. You know what I mean? So, no, I wouldn't do that. No way. No way.
What would be more surprising? Caleb Farley locking up Stephon Diggs right now, or Corey Davis taking Stephon Gilmore to the cleaners a couple years ago?
I don't know. He took
that was one. That was one of the most shocking.
The third snap of the game.
That was. Do you remember after the game they said, "Well, you know, Gilmore was feeling a little sick during the week."
Right, whatever.
Always an excuse.
He suited up, so I'm not hearing that.
Well, another question about the Titans secondary. This texter says the Bills have three receivers who are very prolific veteran receivers in this league and have each proven they can take over a game. As well with the emergence of Dawson Knox, how is the Titans secondary going to cover all four of these guys, and what matchup do you think is the most concerning?
You know, the toughest part of it is if you go man, like Manny Sanders, Steph Diggs, but nobody's talking about Cole Beasley.
And he scares me.
And that rascal covering him, man coverage, like, that's a tough assignment. So, and then Dawson Knox is exploding. Now he and Josh Allen are on the same page. He has, what, five touchdowns this year? I think it's five. He's playing really well.
He was killing Kansas City.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The broken play. You know, Allen scrambling, he pointed up, he turned the route up, and deep shot. I would go more zone, but then when you go zone, Cole Beasley does such a good
Beasley.
I don't know, man. Like, I'm so glad that I'm not Shane Bowen and have to figure that out. You know, but I really don't know the best way to go against them, honestly. I'm stumped.
Let's hope Shane Bowen isn't.
See, I'm with you, though, what you said earlier about blitzing the corners. I think this is one of those ones where you got to get there. You know, you got to get home. If you don't get there, it doesn't matter if you're man. It doesn't matter if you're zone. It doesn't matter if Farley's on Sanders or Diggs. You got to get there, and you got to affect the quarterback.
And not only do you have to get home, you got to get him down. Mm-hmm. That man is, what, 6'4", 240 pounds?
You brought up Molden blitzing. I'm like, yes, but, you know, I've seen Steve McNair turn over, and he's kind of built like Steve McNair. Probably not as physical as McNair was.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, you're right. Yeah, and that's the if you're going, you got to get home and bring him down, because he shakes you off and then looks down the field, sends a deep shot. It could be a problem.
Another texter texts in and says, "Will Darrington Evans dress and possibly play tonight?"
No, he hasn't been activated. They had until today to make that move, and he hasn't. Interesting thing, just a little nugget. This week he wore number one. And for the show team, he was kind of giving them the Manny Sanders look. Mm-hmm. But no, he hasn't been activated, so no, he won't dress.
Another texter texts in and says, "Your number one key to victory, TD. What would it be for the Titans?"
Run the football, and even if it's not going, stick to it. Maintain that presence of Derrick Henry and play off of it. That's my number one thing.
Adam, this is a perfect way to wrap up the TD Power Hour. Adam is in for his weekly chat with TD. Adam, the floor is yours.
Yeah, man. Hey, TD, so I'm not as pessimistic. I know Jared Sanri gets blown out. He likes to depress me heading into these primetime games usually, man. But I'm feeling good about it, because I feel like everybody thinks we're trash. and I feel like everybody thinks the Bills are the best. I mean, they're good. I'm not going to say they're not good, but they have holes. You don't let the Titans from last year smash you the way you did if you don't have holes or opportunities to exploit them. So should I start leaning more towards Jared, or do I have a reason to feel optimistic? Because it's a home game. I feel like it's the perfect scenario for us with them. If we're ever going to play them, it's right now. So I'm just hoping you'd kind of confirm what I'm feeling.
Listen, I tell you this, Adam. Mike Vrabel, what does he call this team? A bunch of street rats, right? And I don't know if you frequented cities a lot, but when it's raining, that's when you see the street rats the most, right? On those nasty days, that's when you see them the most. And that's really how this Titans team is. The more mucky, the dirtier it is, the more difficult the situation is. They just seem to rise to that. So I think that's what you hang your optimism on. And I think the fact that, as a matter of fact, Paul Kaharsky, he wrote a very, very good article. It posted this morning about how the first person that they need to have the best game is Mike Vrabel.
Yep.
And he rehashed the Texans game in week two of his rookie year as a head coach and how they just had to figure out a way to win, and they did that. I really think that Mike Vrabel has figured out a way for them to beat this team, but it's just you got to execute it. So I would not, like, you know, jump off the bridge or anything like that. I think there's still an obvious shot for this team to win because they tend to always play up to the competition.
You know what? I've told people this, that what's crazy is sometimes I feel like I say some very measured things, but maybe in a little bit tougher way. TD, see, Chris Sanders gets away with saying crazy things because he's incredibly enthusiastic, and he's just such a great guy that, like, right, nobody can stay mad at Chris for some of the crazy things that come out of that man's mouth. TD has the enthusiasm but also has the measure. I've noticed that. In asking about the optimism for today's game, I thought that was a great answer, TD.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
As always, TD, we will see you Thursday. Your thoughts from this game and getting ready for the next one. But you're looking way too good to be over here. You got to get to the stadium. So we will see
Thank you.
Coming up next, there is an element of this game that TD brought up that I want to go all the way back to June. Go all the way back to June. And I want to get to that coming up next. But first, Caroline, let's tell you about BetUS.
I want to tell you about my favorite sports book, and that is BetUS. We've got Monday Night Football. Hockey is finally back. We're in the nitty-gritty of the playoffs with Major League Baseball, so get in on the action with BetUS. They've been America's sports book for over 25 years, and that's exactly why I endorse them. They have integrity, they have longevity, and you know that you're going to get paid when you bet with BetUS, and you cannot ask for anything more. BetUS offers everything. They have live betting, MMA, golf, horses, esports, all kinds of crazy prop bets. Anything you want to put money on, you can do that with BetUS. So call them today. They will walk you through setting up an account. Their number is 1-800-79-BETUS. That is 1-800-79-BETUS. Nobody in the industry gives bigger bonuses than BetUS. So join now. Mention promo code GAME, and you can get a sign-up bonus on your first deposit. Nobody beats BetUS, and that's exactly why I bet with them, and so should you. So go now to BetUS.com. Join today. Put in promo code GAME for a sign-up bonus on your first deposit. That is BetUS.com.